أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة لأهل التقوى واليقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين بالقاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لسيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I'll not be reading a paper in front of you, hence I've not prepared from beforehand. However, there is a lot to be said about a personality who brought about a change in a world that was thirsty for Islamic teachings. You know, Khomeini's forefathers belonged to Naishapur itself, from northeastern part of Iran. And his forefathers had traveled for the purpose of tabligh and preaching to India, where they lived in Kashmir, and many members of his family, his far distant relatives, they still reside there, and they are known to be Musavis or Naishapuris rather than Khomeini. His grandfather returned from India to Iran, and he resided in Khomeini, and hence Imam Khomeini is known to be Khomeini. A person, when born, he was an orphan, and we see in history that many orphans have brought about many big changes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away something from someone, He gives him something more from the other. You can see in history people, and even today in our life, sometimes there are people, those who are born blind, but their other senses are stronger. Their hearing, for example, would be stronger than other people. I've seen people, those who are blind, they would, just by hearing a person's steps, would be able to tell who this person is. So sometimes people, when they are deprived of one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with many others. In his early life, his mother and his auntie, paternal auntie, his father's sister, they were the ones who played the major role in his upbringing. And when both of them died, when he was very young, his older brother Ayatollah Pasandida took over. And Ayatollah Pasandida died in 1998 at the age of about 107. Three brothers, and Imam Khomeini is the youngest person of the family. When he moved to Iraq for his education under Ayatollah Sheikh Abdul Karim Hayri, Ayatollah Hayri was invited by the ulama to Qom, and Imam Khomeini moves with his teacher, with many of the other fellow students, to Qom itself. And this house was established in the 20s. Ayatollah Hayri died in 1937. Imam Khomeini was known in the 30s to be a philosophy teacher. He had written his first book in his early 30s, Kashful Asrar. And then he wrote many other books after that. In the beginning, he wasn't accepted, or he wasn't known as a jurisprudent in his early 30s and probably late 30s. He was more of a philosopher and into mysticism. And it was later in his 40s that he went towards teaching jurisprudence and the principles of jurisprudence, probably in his late 40s and early 50s. When he started teaching, he attracted many strong students from the institute. And the best of the writers started attending his lectures. People like Ayatollah Jafar Subhani, Ayatollah Muqtadai, and others. One of his students, who later became the person in charge for the judiciary system in Iran in the 80s, Ayatollah Muqtadai, he said that Imam Khomeini used to sit on the floor and teach his Bahth al-Kharij, the highest level of ijtihad. When they asked him, why don't you sit on the pulpit, on the member, he said, because I want to show respect to the marja, or A'lam, Ayatollah Burujardi. In early 60s, or probably 1962, when Ayatollah Burujardi passed away, Ayatollah Muqtadai says that a few of the students got together and they paid in to buy a pulpit for Imam Khomeini. And it made something like 70 tumans of that time in the early 70s, 60s. They bought a member for Imam Khomeini and they said, you should sit on the member now. Amongst a few maraji, they say the first day when he walked in, he didn't want to sit on the member. When we insisted, he sat on the member and he cried that day. And the speech that he made that day wasn't concerning the principles of jurisprudence in Masjid al-Salmasi in Qom. Anyone who knows Qom, they would probably know where it is. Behind the library of Ayatollah Marashi. That's where he used to lead his prayers, Maghrib and Isha. They say that day he spoke about akhlaq itself, about the conduct of the spiritual leaders. Imam Khomeini, you see, the people, those who are to bring changes in this world, are different from others. Dr. Ali Shariti, he argues a point. He says, why do we say that Ali was very lonely in Medina? Was it because he had no friends? Or was it that he had many friends, but he did not fit in that circle of friends? He had gone so far ahead of them that he had no one parallel to him to speak to him. And that's why after the Holy Prophet, he felt lonely. After Fatima salam alayha, he felt lonely because no one up to his status fitted in that society. No, he could not acquaint with anyone. He could not fit in with the other people. He was far ahead of them. Likewise, people, those who are to bring changes, they go ahead of others in their thinking, in their production, the way they want to see the changes come about. And that was the case with Imam Khomeini. When some of the ulama say that a person, an official from Tehran had come to Qom, from Shah, to find out who the new maraji are, that person, that official went to different maraji and said, I'm a person, an official from Shah, can I have your Risala Amaliyah or the Tawdil Masail? They all gave him the Risala Amaliyah. When that person came to Imam Khomeini's office and said that I'm an official, can I have your Risala? He said, yes, it's 5 tumans. He wouldn't give it to him free. He said, you're not my muqallid, so why should I give it to you? You do your thing, and that's how much it has cost me to print it. Pay what's your responsibility towards it. And that was the point that he noted, that this person is not willing to compromise on any of these issues that Shah was putting forward. And when it started, you know, Khomeini, his marja'iyya, and now because Ayatollah Burujardi is not there, in the early 60s, he made many of those speeches in Faidiyya, in Masjid Salmasi, in his house, against capitalism, against many of those things, against imperialism, against Americanism. Openly speaking on many of those issues, he openly declared what his views were. And he made it clear that I'll not surrender. I'm against you. Do not think I'm all by myself. I have Allah on my side. He did not surrender to Shah. He openly declared what his views were, that he does not agree with those things that are going on in Iran. The person who's going to bring any change, look at his life. I just want to give you one or two examples. I'll not be taking too much of your time, I think, because others would also want to speak. One of my teachers mentioned to me that when Shah was going to come and visit the ulama in Qom, because it is a custom of the Hawza, the ulama, whoever comes and visits them, they would stand up for them. Imam Khomeini did not want Ayatollah Burujardi to stand up for Shah. So when all the ulama had gathered, the main maraji and the ulama, great scholars, had gathered in the house of Ayatollah Burujardi, Shah was coming. And a person said to Ayatollah Burujardi, Shah is now coming. At that time, when Shah has arrived in Qom and he's about to visit Ayatollah Burujardi, Khomeini says, I need to have a word with you. He said, can't it wait? He said, no, it's very emergency. So can you come out? He said, well, Shah has just arrived. Is it very important? He said, yes, it's very important. I need to speak to you. Please come with me. Shripad Thulaburjyoti outside and made him wait. He said, just stand here for a minute, I'm coming. He said, what is it? He said, just wait here, I'm coming. Went back in and made sure that he showed Shah that he is not pleased with any of the things that are happening. While Shah was entering, all the other ulama were standing up for him, and Imam Khomeini was standing and he started sitting down, intentionally. He noticed this person is there. As soon as he felt that Shah has not sat down, everyone has settled down, Imam Khomeini got up and left. Because it's a custom that whoever comes later, people get it for him. He said to Atala Burjadi, now it's your time to go in. He said, what was it that you wanted to speak to me about? He said, I'll talk to you about that later. Now it's your time. Please come in. When he came in, Shah got up for him. He said, that was something that I wanted to tell you. You see, the people, those who bring about changes, they think differently. The depth in Imam Khomeini's actions, the depth in his works, in his books, in his students, what he produced. When Ayatollah Burjardi had forbidden philosophy to be taught in the Hawza, he allowed two people to teach philosophy, and one of them was Imam Khomeini. When he allowed him to teach philosophy, a person said to him that something is going very wrong between Ayatollah Burjardi and Ayatollah Allama Tabatabai, because Allama Tabatabai was teaching philosophy and many people around Ayatollah Burjardi were opposing to it, that he shouldn't be teaching it, why is he teaching it, and many things went on. Until it came to a stage where Ayatollah Burjardi was going to oppose to Allama Tabatabai teaching philosophy. So a few students of Imam Khomeini went to him. Sheikh Ali Dawani, you see him on the television now, he's in his 60s, probably early 70s, Ayatollah Jafar Subhani and others. They went to him to say that, now it's your time to intervene between Ayatollah Burjardi and Allama Tabatabai because you're close to both of them. Imam Khomeini was very close to Ayatollah Burjardi. The point that I want to make is that he asked the students, he said, who are teaching philosophy? Who's teaching philosophy? He said, Allama Tabatabai. He said, I've heard that so-and-so, I don't want to mention the name. He said, I heard he's teaching philosophy as well. He said, yes. Then he says to Ayatollah Jafar Subhani, I heard you are teaching philosophy as well. He said, yes, I am. He said, what do you teach? He said, I'm teaching Sharh Manzuma. He said, how many students do you get? He said, something like 60, around 60 students. He said, what about the other one? What is he teaching? He said, he gets about 150. What about Ayatollah Allama Tabatabai? He said, he gets more than 200 students, probably 400. What is he teaching? He said, Asfar. He said, when did you get that many people understanding philosophy in the Hawza? It's only recent years that we have actually revived philosophy. Many of these people don't understand what we're teaching. When I first started teaching philosophy with the permission of Ayatollah Burjardi, I used to teach it in a small room of Faidiyah, and I used to tell all of my students, at the end of the week, you will give me your notes for me to make sure that you are understanding what I'm teaching. And if they were not understanding, I would tell them, please do not come from next week. By the looks of it, I've seen in your notes, you do not understand what I'm teaching. Tomorrow you'll cause a bad name to me and to yourself. Because when you go and tell the people that you have studied under Khomeini, they will say, is that what he's taught you? Is that what he knows? It will cause me a bad name. And then they will think, well, hang on, Khomeini knows what he's teaching. Are you that dumb that you have not understood going under him in his lectures? So it will cause a bad name to you and to me. So I used to tell them not to come to my lectures. When you're teaching philosophy in such a big mass, you know, like 400 people are attending, what does it do? Is it producing that many good philosophers, or is it just producing people who think they are understanding philosophy? And then he intervened and then he, alhamdulillah, controlled the situation. My point is, the people, those who want to bring about changes, they keep a close eye to their students, and then they produce great scholars like Mutahharis and like Behishtis. It took a long time before, when there were probably other people like Imam Khomeini, but they could not produce what Imam Khomeini produced, because Imam Khomeini had a team trained over tens of years, not just overnight. Tens of years he spent producing that team, who would help him, who would nurture and who would take up the responsibilities in the future. Many of those people came into parliament, became judges, became, for example, chief of the judiciary system. He needed all of these people to come in and take places. And most of these were his own students because he knew who he had trained and who fits where. If a person doesn't know where to put and what to put, then he doesn't know how to organize things. That was the greatest thing about Imam Khomeini. He wasn't only a great jurisprudent, but he was also at the same time a mystic. And he was an excellent manager of the whole situation. He managed everything properly. The great responsibility lies in managing everything. And that was the greatest thing about Imam Khomeini, that he managed everything the way he should have, the way everything should have been produced. I want to end here with just some of the last things about Imam Khomeini's life. Many of his students, like Atala Misbah Yazdi and others, they say that when we traveled around the world, Imam Khomeini sent us around the world saying that us are the people, we would help them from the government to produce educational works. Atala Misbah Yazdi says that I went to Indonesia and I asked Syed Hasan Al-Attas, Malaysia, sorry. And I asked Hasan Al-Attas, who was going to build a university, how is he going to make sure that it doesn't get out of the hands of the Muslims? It doesn't go into the hands of the communists. He said, who am I to make sure that it stays in the hands of the Muslims? My responsibility is to just make something, and then God will be responsible to protect it. Atala Misbah Yazdi says that I told him at the time, I hate your answer. The Holy Prophet waited for Ali to be born and to become 10, a person who's going to protect that faith, a person who's going to be responsible. Not that, okay, let me just establish something and leave it. You know, Khomeini did the same thing. He produced many people who could actually look after that work, which he had carried out. Even then, things may go wrong. No one is to guarantee. But not to just produce something and leave it and say, I rely on God. That is not tawakkul. That is mismanagement. Atala Misbah Yazdi says, what I was fearing happened. The university produced by that person later on went into the hands of the communists. It was destroyed. Many things we do in our life, they are destroyed. Many times when you have produced a work, it doesn't show the result. And in fact, you've spoiled it for the others to do anything because you've started something without keeping the completion in mind. Fine, we do believe our responsibility is, like Imam Khomeini used to always say, Ma muwazzaf be wazifeh hassim, na muwazzaf be natijeh. And this statement is also an understanding from the hadith by Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, where the Imam alayhi salam says that, Alaykum bisay wa laysa alaykum bin nujh. You must try. And your trial does not mean after trying that you would surely succeed. But trying is important. Likewise, Imam Khomeini said, our responsibility is to follow our duty, not to be frightened of what will happen, not to be frightened of the consequences. That's what many of times we do. That bravery that Imam Khomeini had, others did not have at times. I want to end early, but just with one statement. Probably some of these are just personal stories that I've actually gained from many of the ulama. I have not found them in books. Khomeini was very close to two ayatollahs before he left Iran, before he was exiled basically. Ayatollah Behjat and Ayatollah Bahauddini, Sayyid Muhammad Reza Bahauddini. Ayatollah Behjat is about 94, 95, still alive, and Ayatollah Bahauddini died in 98 as well. Ayatollah Behjat's son, the one who runs his office, was telling me, I'd asked him about the relation of Imam Khomeini with Ayatollah Behjat. He said after the Islamic Revolution, when Imam Khomeini returned, he came to my father and he said to my father that what Shah had done, after that, even if Yazid had stood up against him, people would have helped him. But no one stood up against Shah because the courage was needed. Initiative that we never take. That was something that was found in Imam Khomeini, bravery and taking initiative. Look at that man in his, he's almost 80 when the Islamic Revolution happens, and he doesn't say, oh, my life is ended, what should I do? That mentality that the Holy Prophet gave to his close companions like Salman al-Farisi or Salman al-Muhammadi. When a person says, Salman, why are you planting these seeds? You're an old man. You will die before these palm trees produce a fruit. The date trees, for example. Before they produce a fruit, you will die. He said, but hang on a minute. I ate fruit from many of the trees that I did not plant. People before me had planted. Why should I not plant these trees that the oncoming generations would eat fruit from? We never think about the oncoming generations. Who is this man? He's in his early 80s. He's going to die soon. But he says, let me work for the oncoming generations. That was the spirit in Imam Khomeini. When Dr. Habibi, one of the ministers in Iran, he says that when I became ill and I had an operation, I was in the hospital, I thought that I can just sit on the bed and now pray because I'm not well. He said, when I saw the video of Imam Khomeini, in this man, he's almost 19, his early 90s, according to the Islamic calendar. And yet, he says, no, I'm going to stand up and do my prayer. When you see the video, he cannot go to the sajda. Two people hold him and put him down, but he still stands up. Dr. Habibi says that after seeing that video, I decided that, was my prayer really accepted? I'm not even 60. This man is old enough to be my father. And look at the spirit that he has. Look at the spirit that he has. There are many Iranians here. I don't want to be offending, with due respect to all the Iranians, but they had forgotten how to do salawats. You see many of those clips about Imam Khomeini. When he's giving a speech, when he's giving a lecture, this is a marja taqlid, naib imam. They are clapping when he's giving a speech in 1979. They didn't know how to do salawat. Shaheed Quddusi is standing up and says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He's teaching them. And that's why they always had one pattern to do salawat, because he taught them how to do salawat. They were clapping. They didn't know. This is a man who brought the revolution amongst the people. Forget their obligations about the prayers and other things. They were sinning and they did not know how to do salawat. And these people, not only they were practicing the obligations, they went forward to give shahadat. That was the spirit that Imam Khomeini created amongst these people. That is called an inqilab, when the original thing is changed into another thing. You know, in fiqh we call inqilab something. For example, the wine changes into vinegar. That is inqilab. That was what Imam Khomeini, you know, rahmatullahi alayhi, he did. This is what he did. Those people, they went forward to do jihad. The sixth obligation. They were willing to give their lives. That was an inqilab produced by Sayyid Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi. I end here. Our responsibility is not just to mention him. Last year, at this time, I was in Iran, and Ayatollah Khamenei, he said, this is the 16th anniversary, death anniversary of Imam Khomeini. It is not the time to just chant slogans on Imam Khomeini's remembrance. We should now try and produce a work that he required of us. We should try and produce a work that the inqilab, the revolution requires of us. And that is our responsibility, not to just listen and leave, but to inshallah try and do what we would have done if Imam Khomeini had given an order today. That is our responsibility. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.